Do you regret any of the targets you chose? Who needs to attack Mother Teresa?
It wasn't her fault that people were in poverty.
No, not in the first place. But as it happens, I could go on a length about this, but summarise it in one statement, which I think is pretty hard to refute. The best known cure for poverty we've come up with is something called the empowerment of women. If you give women control over their cycle of reproduction, you don't keep them chained to an animal cycle of annual pregnancy and so forth, and you give them... If you can add to that by throwing in a handful of seeds or some credit, you'll have done very well. Nowhere where that's tried does it not work. Mother Teresa spent her entire life campaigning against that. She thought that contraception and abortion were morally equivalent and that abortion was murder. Now, that's not what Calcutta needs, and I think her teachings and preachings were actually counter to the cause that she's supposed to represent. So I thought it was very important to point that out.
Pick a window.
The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful swearing.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
For what reason?
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
You are listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. Joining me this week, Tiffany Steckbell.
Smash the patriarchy.
JC Carter.
Welcome to the resistance.
Both of you. Good ones. Hey, hi.
Hi.
How we doing, everybody?
So good.
I am in a conundrum with myself. I have a gift certificate burning a hole in my pocket to the Cinemark down here in Spanish Fork, Utah, where we are. And there's two new movies coming that I want to see. And one of them is the End of Oak Street, which is Anne Hathaway and Ewan McGregor. And their entire neighborhood gets sucked back to the dinosaur age. Mm-hmm. It looks like a really cool dinosaur fueled horror movie. And I've said this on, I think, every other show, but I started watching the trailer for it and I'm like, oh, Anne Hathaway in peril, here we go. And then I see Ewan McGregor and I was like, interest peaked. And then I see a dinosaur and I'm like, okay, I don't know. It was muted. I still haven't heard it. And I'm like, I want to see this. And then there's the Dog Stars with Josh Brolin coming out next week that looks interesting. You know, post-apocalyptic stuff. Sort of like The Walking Dead without the zombies sort of thing. And
all good times.
But right now, Spider-Man Brand New Day is still in theaters, and I want to see it again. And I don't know what to do. Because we've got Avengers Endgame coming up in a few weeks. Doesn't the retconned Endgame start in September?
I think so.
Let me see.
I wasn't even aware it was happening until just recently, so I don't even know what the fuck it's about, apart from the Duffer brothers are retconning it?
Russo.
Well, the Russo brothers are retconning it. I don't know what that's going to mean.
Avengers Endgame will return to theaters worldwide September 25th, 2026, under the title Avengers Endgame Encore. It's got new footage. You can see it in IMAX as well. And it serves as a narrative and promotional lead up to Avengers Doomsday, which opens in December. I want to see it. I want to see it again. Especially with the retcons. So maybe I will. Maybe I'll just save the gift certificate for that.
I just have a problem with the theater. I miss Regal. I loved Regal.
Yeah. Yeah, the theater down here is weird.
Yeah, it is. It's different.
I stopped liking Regal recently, so
I'm really? Kinda,
yeah. It wasn't pleasant to go to a movie there recently. And the only reason I go to this one is because I get the recliners.
Yeah. Everything else at Regal was sticky.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was always sticky.
I get the recliners with the little tray that I can now get pretty much in front of me.
you skinny bitch.
Yeah, I know. But the otherwise, it was just a bad experience going to see The Mandalorian there. And I've seen the last two movies at the Cinemark, Megaplex, and they've been fine. And yeah, for a while there, I was like, no, I'm sick of the fucking Megaplex. But now I'm like, and then on top of it, they went and did their thing where they said, no, we're Pepsi only. Ugh. And I'm like, I will loathe you forever for that. So
I hate that.
I don't
go to the Megaplex, I can get Coke. So that's it.
Yeah, I don't mind Pepsi. I don't mean this in any way. I'm not precious about my cola brands, as it were, just because it's like, it's shit I don't care for. I'd much rather have a cold glass of water, but I'm not paying $10 for it. So of course I'll have a soda. That's how I am at the theater. So, you know, Coke Zero, Pepsi Zero, who gives a shit? I don't.
I do.
But it's sticky.
My mom took us out to lunch and I asked for a Sprite. And she said, well, we have Starry. And I said, oh, never mind. I'll take. And I was thinking for a second. And she said, can you really tell the difference? Like, snotty.
Yes, she did.
Yes, I really can. And I don't like Starry.
When I say, yeah, can I get a Coke Zero? They'll say, we only have Pepsi. Is Pepsi okay? I said, no, I know what disappointment tastes like. I don't need to drink it again. some families are Mormon, some families are Methodist, some families are, you know, Presbyterian. We were a Coke family. We were true believers in Coca-Cola, and when Coca-Cola became New Coke in the 80s and tasted more like Pepsi, my family felt it was the greatest threat to modern society ever.
I remember that. That was as big as the Satanic Panic.
And the whole reason why they changed the formula is because Coke decided we're going to jump on the train of doing the high fructose corn syrup and change the flavor, made it sweeter, made it more like Pepsi. And
and they kept losing the Pepsi challenge.
Yeah, and I at the time I didn't mind it, but now that I look back on it, I'm like, no, the original formula was better. And so they sat and tweaked the formula until they finally got what they called Coca-Cola Classic. I don't like, if it's truly classic, you'd put cocaine in it again.
Coca-Cola Classic, the red, white, and you. Yep, I remember that. I remember that quite a bit. So, hey, just checking in, seeing how everybody's doing. You both look fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you.
We got a lot of news ahead of us today. The first of being, when you think about the billionaire perverts and creepos and pedophiles, you know, and all of that. And you think about perverts and you think about creepos and all of that. Hugh Hefner is a name that usually pops to the top of that list, you know?
Yes.
And so I was startled to find that Hugh Hefner himself warned the FBI about Epstein after one of his playmates had a breakdown and confessed to him that she had been raped by Epstein. And the FBI just absolutely ignored Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
I would say that when the most famous dirty old man pops up and says, hey, this guy's dangerous, you go, coming from you, that means something.
Well, were they ignoring Hugh Hefner or were they ignoring the crime?
Yes.
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 You have to reporting it. They're like, of all the people to be offended by something. And then the fact that it was the crime, they just were going to ignore it as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely fucked up. But
that took 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, according to court records, former Playboy playmate Audra Christiansen told Hefner in 2005 that she'd been sexually abused and trafficked by Epstein, leading to a legal complaint in a Florida court, which was ignored until now, 21 years later. She also reportedly asked Hefner to contact the FBI on her behalf, believing his prominence would make authorities more likely to listen.
Y'all read my magazine.
For the articles.
Exactly.
Yeah, the documents allege Hefner subsequently contacted the FBI several times with information about Christiansen's claims. Yet, according to the legal complaint, the agency did not follow up with her until October of 2020. 15 years after the initial report.
Yep.
15 fucking years.
Disgusting.
You know, why do they choose the bear? Well, because the bear's paying attention right now.
It's true.
It is. I mean, it is just, it's the fact that, and I can't believe that the media doesn't pound on this more. The only people that got their names blacked out, redacted in the files, were the people sending the emails about committing the crimes.
Yeah.
They let the victims out to dry. They threw them under the bus, you know, yep. And Epstein's name was still there. And then the people that committed the egregious crimes all got redacted. And the fact that that's not the biggest part of this story right now, as far as the cover-up part of it goes, blows my fucking mind. It just blows my fucking mind.
And yet, sadly, it really tracks.
Yep, 100%. The wealthy will get away with it every single time.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating. Very frustrating. Moving on. So I remember the first summer that I heard the phrase El Nino. And the thing that I remember about El Nino was that it rained like a son of a bitch for about 2 months here in Salt Lake City. I had a south facing apartment in a horseshoe shaped thing. And I faced south and my apartment was like 115 degrees. From March until October. Mm-hmm. And because the windows were the old flippy outs, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so I couldn't put a window unit in. They had giant swamp coolers in the hall, so we have to leave our doors open to cool our apartments off. And it started raining in early May and it didn't stop until late June.
Yep.
And I was as happy as I had ever been in that apartment. And then, you know, July showed up and it got all hot as balls again. But, mm-hmm. you know, to me, El Nino meant rain. But as I'm looking at this new historic sized El Nino, it looks like we're going to be in for drier, warmer weather where we are. Mm-hmm. And then the southern part of the United States from, you know, San Diego-ish over to Florida and what have you. Are going to be wetter and colder, right? There's going to be a little phase in the middle of cooler air between the north part of the United States and the south part of the United States, but not as much wet. And then in showing Utah, right up at the top, it shows us as warmer and drier, and that's it.
Yep.
The rest of the state's naked. It says we don't know. So probably southern Utah will get more rain. Northern Utah will get less snow.
More flash floods, that sort of thing.
Less snow.
Yeah, more droughts. Right where we need water to be,
yep.
you know, is where it's going to be warmer and drier.
I have some statistics on that I'll be sharing in the next segment.
Okay. Yeah, according to the article, there is a greater than 90% chance of a very strong El Nino. Very strong being the highest chance to date. Exposes our confidence in the growth and development of a potentially historic El Nino event. Noah noted that with an event of this magnitude, while the chances of experiencing impacts consistent with El Nino are greater, they're not guaranteed. Because I heard talk of an El Nino last year, and apparently it didn't materialize. But on this one, the current phrasing, you know, of mild El Nino to very strong El Nino, they want to call it a super El Nino, and meteorologists are like, there's no such fucking thing. You know, just because it's going to be bigger than our biggest doesn't mean that we get to just add new shit.
A super duper.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. I imagine
extinction level El Nino is what we're going to be seeing soon.
Yeah, but there's a lot of Midwest areas that are going to be a little happier with warmer than average temperatures. You know,
all of them.
But I mean, I don't know, man. I have wintered in Minnesota, mm-hmm. and you know,
but there's issues. We'll talk about that.
Okay, we'll move on. Mm-hmm. Lauren Boebert's son charged with child sexual exploitation. The representative Handjobs kid has been charged. Tyler Boebert was arrested last week on charges of sexual exploitation of a child and multiple other charges. Tyler Boebert, a Newcastle, Colorado resident, was arrested following an investigation involving the Sheriff's Department and the 9th Judicial District's Attorney's Office. The arrest of the Colorado Republican son comes as the midterms are just months away. Representative Handjob first joined Congress in 2021 and represents Colorado's 4th Congressional District, an area covering the eastern part of the state. Yada, yada, yada. She votes heavily for Trump. That makes no mistake. She says, I love my son. We take these allegations very seriously and pray for everyone affected during this challenging time. It's not a challenging time. And the person that was affected was a child.
Yep.
And that's bullshit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lock him up, throw away the key. And mom can, you know, step down from Congress so she can visit him every day because she loves her son.
Yeah.
Although I doubt she'll visit him at all.
Yeah. If she's not in a, you know, a revival for, I don't know, the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Where was she?
It was Shrek. Shrek the Musical.
Oh, Shrek the Musical.
Oh, awful.
One, basically a theater full of kids, and she's given a handy.
I can't imagine getting a hand job with a bad Scottish accent flying at me from off stage.
Yeah, I know.
You know? Get out
That's
of my
just every
swamp!
Day in my house.
Nut.
Get off.
And one of my favorite things that she did when she got busted with that was she says, well, that's the last time I date a Democrat. And it's like, it was your hand in his pants. All he did was go, oh, a handy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever said no to a handy?
Never.
Never. Even when they hurt and are uncomfortable, it's someone paying a particular flavor of attention to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's not true.
It's not because I'm a Democrat.
Trips, you always say no.
Not when I'm driving. That's dangerous.
I'm just saying.
Let it go. Let it go.
Sometimes it's the best time to get a handy. Keeps you alert.
Keeps you awake.
No, when the moment of truth comes, you end up slamming both feet down. You're going to hit the brake and the gas at the same time. You're going to cause all sorts of troubles.
Put it in cruise control, move your feet.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Oh,
that's
my
all I'm
hell,
saying.
The both of you.
That's right.
The both of you. Up until 5 seconds ago, I was the Hugh Hefner of this show. Now no longer.
No longer. Nope.
Mike Lindell.
Yay! I only pull these stories so I can hear you do his voice.
Yep. My pillow founder, Mike Lindell, a Trump ally known for his election denialism, refused to concede in a Minnesota gubernatorial. Oh, fuck, I went Chicago. God damn it.
Yeah.
I think that's the voice.
It is a little bit.
It gives me the heebie-jeebies.
It very well should be.
Yep.
But, yeah, he's saying that the election was rigged, at which point you want to point out to him, hey, asshole, it was a Republican primary.
Yeah.
So who rigged the election? You guys? Because that sounds about your speed.
And he lost by double digits.
I know! A cascading loss.
A cascading loss. He lost by, his percentages were in the double digits. He's like, it was stolen! I'm like, no, it wasn't. Fuck it. I love it.
I just like, everybody called it for the other guy. And they were doing the interviews the night of, and they're like, hey, AP, NBC, so-and-so, they've all called it for the other guy. And he's like, there's still 230,000 votes to count. I could still pull this off. And they're like, yeah, no, you can't. There's just...
It's a temper tantrum.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a classic Republican temper tantrum. He learned it from Trump, so why wouldn't he? Yeah.
So ridiculous.
I just... They win, and... All of the election was rigged except for their part, you know, and they lose and all of it is rigged. It's so selective.
Well, there's no accountability. There never has been.
No. Mm-hmm. All right, gang, let's take a little break. When we get back on the other side, look, here's the thing.
What are we doing today?
That is an important question.
So this is the part where we ask for money?
This is the part where we ask for money.
I hate this part.
I hate it too. You know, if we had billionaire funding, we wouldn't have to do this.
But independent media matters, and it only works if people fund it. Where's George Soros when you need him?
If you support independent media, like The Left Show, we'll keep doing the work. No corporate sponsors, no censorship.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Pop over to theleftshow.com and make a statement about how you won't be led astray by bought and paid for media. With your donation today, theleftshow.com. What if there was one place where comic book fans could get everything? News, reviews, debates, and deep dives every single week.
And not just we read one issue and Googled the rest kind of takes. We're talking 15 years deep, over 600 episodes.
That's right. The world's greatest comic book podcast has been breaking down Marvel, DC, indie books, movies, and fandom culture long before it was cool.
Whether you're a lifelong collector,
a casual fan who just saw the latest superhero movie,
or someone trying to figure out where to even start,
we have got you covered.
We don't always agree, which makes it way more fun.
Yeah, way more fun.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Real opinions, real conversations.
Zero gatekeeping.
Check out the world's greatest comic book podcast at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hey kids, comics!
So Tiffany asked an important question just a few minutes ago, and that is, what is Look, Here's the Thing? And the simple answer is deep dives, no matter how cool the sounder was, and nobody commented on it, and it really, really made me sad. It was the theme to Sequest. So get it?
That is hilarious.
Yeah. But
If I listened to the episode after recording it, I might have commented, but I don't listen to the episodes anymore.
Yeah, you being remote has really, really dampened the feedback you used to give.
Mm-hmm.
But the I started noticing because, you know, I said the words deep dives a couple of times and my phone was right here. And so it started putting up other people's deep dives. And I realized how many other podcasts, shows, whatever, have a deep dive segment. So I'm like, well, fuck it. I'm going to change it. What should I change it to? And Look, Here's the Thing is, as you mentioned earlier, shared vocabulary that you and I have brought forth from our youths.
Yep.
And we used to, we've been teased about it. We've teased others about it. And so that's where we're at. Now, we're gonna jump into that right now. Starting with JC, it's time for Look. Here's the thing. Somewhere between the panic, the hot takes, and a Russian bot with three followers, there are the facts. Reality is sitting quietly in the corner, waiting for someone, anyone, to ask a follow-up question. That's what we're here for. It's time for Look. Here's the thing.
Okay, here's the thing. In Central Europe, record-breaking heat and dry conditions along the Danube has caused farmers to lose up to 50 to 70% of their harvests. In the Netherlands and Bosnia, severe droughts are shriveling staple crops like potatoes and corn. In the UK, Britain is on track to have the worst cereal harvest since 1984, which will severely impact wheat, oats, and barley. There goes your beer. In South and Southeast Asia, extreme heat and disrupted monsoon rains have delayed rice planting. In Pakistan and Bangladesh, yield loss estimates of rice and core grains has surged due to compounding high temperatures. In the United States, extreme heat during the critical July pollination phase slash corn yield estimates. Prolonged lack of rainfall has heavily stressed crops in Minnesota, Nebraska, and the Dakotas, and western Iowa. Spring wheat and barley in Montana has been scorched by extreme heat, and in Kansas, farmers are abandoning fields rather than harvest them due to extreme drought. Climate-driven heat and drought are already causing $20 billion in losses for maize, wheat, and soybeans. The United Nations is warning that compounding climate shocks and El Nino weather patterns threaten millions with acute food insecurity. That's millions more than are currently threatened with food insecurity.
Yeah.
What this all means is extreme food shortages, which will affect the poorest worldwide, all due to something we could have worked against for the past 25 years rather than putting up with the Republican denials just so their wealthy backers could continue to see their investments in fossil fuels go up each year. Your grocery bill is going up again, and you can blame the GOP for it. That's all there is to it. They've chased profits and riches you'll never get to see, all while telling you that the climate change is a hoax and that everything will be just fine. It won't be fine. It will be extinction for the human race. Where the fuck are we going to get food from? You know? Grains, cereals, those things. It's not just us that's eating them and using them. The animals we eat rely on us to feed them those things. And if we don't have those to feed them, that means they die off, which means our food shortage gets even more extreme. I know anecdotally from talking to friends of mine who are deep sea divers that the fish are all migrating northward. Because the middle of the ocean is too hot for them to swim in anymore, to live in anymore. And so that's going to cause all kinds of food shortages along the coastlines in the Mediterranean, in Africa, the African continent, South American continent, all of that. So we're looking at a worldwide food shortage very quickly. And thanks to some numbnuts and his constant need to throw tariffs on everything, how are we going to get any of that food if we can't grow it ourselves? And that's the thing.
I mean, it's fair questions. AI doesn't need food, apparently. And when we're all dead from starvation, they'll have enough water, maybe.
Yep.
But
maybe.
It's,
we're getting drought. We have a lot of droughts. That's another problem. When we have droughts, we lose crops.
Famous Nazi Henry Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Had a couple of things that he said that were pretty smart. And one of them, and I'm summing up here, you know, was if you pay the worker enough to buy your product, then your business is successful.
Yep.
And that's how capitalism is supposed to work. It's competitive. Mm-hmm. And what we've got now is sort of a hostage situation on capitalism, in which we're stuck with what little we have and can't get more.
Yep.
And it's just getting worse and worse. So yeah, we're fucked.
And they're pushing for us to have more kids.
Yeah. Kids that we won't be able to feed at all. Because we're not going to be able to feed ourselves. Millions more than are currently suffering food insecurity are going to suffer food insecurity. When it hits the billion mark, that's it.
We're done.
Yep.
All right. That was a good one. Nice and scary. We're doing scary stuff today. All right, Tiffany. Stuff. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right.
So here's the thing. I didn't prepare as much as I should have. I didn't ask the right questions. So this is a quick deep dive. What is it?
Look, here's the thing.
Look, here's the thing. Okay. Imagine the year is 1932. A brutal, ruthless army of 20,000 hostile invaders is marching across Western Australia. They are destroying infrastructure. They are devouring supplies. The local government panics and deploys the actual, literal military armed with heavy machine guns. Now, who is this terrifying enemy, you ask? Was it a foreign superpower? A rogue militia? No. It was a massive flock of emus. Yes, an aggressive prehistoric turkey that survived on protein shakes and bad attitudes. Welcome to the Great Emu War. The only time in human history that a modern military declared war on wildlife. Okay, so to understand how this madness happened, we have to look at the Great Depression. The Australian government gave land to World War I veterans to farm in wheat until 20,000 emus showed up. The emus migrate after breeding season, and they realize the farmers' newly watered wheat fields were basically an all-you-can-eat buffet. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So they didn't just eat the crops. They trampled the fences, leaving giant holes for rabbits to come. It was a total chaos. Now, because these farmers were World War I veterans, they didn't call animal control. They went straight to the Minister of Defense and asked for machine guns. Men are so smart. And the minister, who I can only assume was a man, said, yeah, go ahead, go get them. Enter Major J.P.W. Meredith. He rolls up into the outback with two soldiers, two Lewis machine guns, and 10,000 rounds of ammunition. They thought they'd be home by dinner. Boy, were they wrong. It turns out emus are accidental military geniuses. Every time the soldiers set up a machine gun, the emus would split into tiny groups and sprint in opposite directions at 40 miles per hour. So, this is... So they keep opening fire. They kill about 12 birds with their machine guns before the machine guns jam. It's just disaster. The outback was so bumpy that the gunner couldn't hit a single thing. And the emus actually outran the truck. So after a few weeks, the army had fired thousands of rounds of ammo and killed almost no emus. So Major Meredith was so humbled that he famously said, if we had a military division with the bullet-carrying capacity of these birds, it could face any army in the world. They can face machine guns and tanks. So, facing massive public embarrassment, the military packed up their guns, surrendered the territory, and retreated. The emus won. The government eventually just paid locals a bounty to do the job, which worked way better. But history will never forget the time humanity brought automatic weapons to a bird fight.
I love it.
Great story, right?
Yeah. Yeah, other than the fact that it was men who thought they could kill emus with machine guns, which I have to be honest, I would have thought I could have done too.
It sounds like a man.
I have a machine gun. I can kill a bird.
I figure, well, you know, that's just, you know, it's like the way we took out the buffalo in this country, you know. You just, they just would shoot them from a train. It worked like a machine gun. So here we have, you know, we sit down the machine gun, we're going to go for it, and then, oh, crikey, those birds are moving. why are they leaving?
Prehistoric.
Why do they run so fast?
Prehistoric turkey?
Yep.
You called it? On protein and what, creatine?
Yeah, protein shakes and
steroids. All right. Let me start here. This last week I did a look, here's the thing, on these two cis male failed professional basketball players saying that they were going to claim themselves as women and stand for the WNBA draft. I was, of course, upset about this because that's not the fucking point, you assholes. I posted it as I normally do, expecting my tens of reactions, you know, from friends of the show. And instead, this one kind of took off a little bit, especially on Facebook. I got some threads likes. I got some Instagram likes. I got some TikTok likes. But on Facebook in particular, I came across what I'm going to call some low effort abuse. See, I'm not a fan of the hard R, right? I'm not. I know a lot of different people with Down syndrome. I've loved many of them throughout my life and don't consider it an insult. You know, it's just a charged word that small intellects use to mock those that they disagree with. Fine. Call me the R word. I'll be fine. I really will. Now, anybody, you know, with the condition that sees it is going to have their feelings hurt because it's not a fucking insult. It's just people and they're just different than you, which really does tie back to the transgender debate that some of these assholes are trying to have. But transgender people experience dramatically higher rates of violent victimization. A 2025 analysis of U.S. National Crime Victimization Study data found that transgender people experience 93.7 violent actions per 1,000 people compared to 21.1 per 1,000 among non-LGBT people. It's four times the rate. The risk of violence isn't merely theoretical. A 2026 Williams Institute review found that 48% of transgender people surveyed reported having been physically attacked or sexually assaulted at some point in their lives. Globally, transgender women are disproportionately the victims of deadly violence. Trans murder monitoring recalled 281 murders of transgender and gender diverse people worldwide between October 2024 and September of 2025. About 90% of the victims were transgender women or trans feminine people. The global numbers almost certainly undercount the problem. Trans murder monitoring relies on reported and documented cases. Right. And the TGEU notes that many murders can't be identified or verified because of inadequate data collection, misgendering and lack of reporting. The organization says trans women and femmes are consistently among the groups disproportionately affected. Transgender women of color face an especially severe risk. 2026 Williams Institute review found that of the 305 documented transgender homicides in the United States, 92 were confirmed or suspected hate crimes. Among the homicide victims, 70.5% were black and 16.1% were Hispanic or Latino. There's workplace discrimination. It's widespread. Okay? The discrimination happening recently, not just historically, 47% of transgender employees reported experiencing workplace discrimination or harassment within the previous year. Sexual harassment is a significant part of the problem. 42% of transgender employees reported experiencing sexual harassment at work at some point in their working lives. About 34% reported physical harassment. 65% reported verbal harassment related to their sexual orientation or gender identity. Economic insecurity is a huge problem. You know, the Williams Institute found that 60% of transgender workers earned less than $50,000 annually, while nearly half of transgender adults in earlier research were living below 200% of the federal poverty level, and 19% were unstably housed. Many transgender people alter their behavior simply to avoid harassment. 71% of transgender workers reported engaging in covering behaviors at work, such as changing their appearance, their voice, their mannerisms, their bathroom use, to reduce the risk of discrimination, harassment, and violence. And there is also a substantial psychological and social cost to living under that kind of a threat. A 2026 systematic review and meta-analysis of 94 different studies involved more than 65,000 transgender and gender diverse adults worldwide, and it found that approximately 64% had experienced physical or sexual violence during their lifetimes. Lifetime physical violence was reported by about 36% and lifetime sexual violence by 33%. The danger isn't simply somebody might disagree with them. The measurable danger includes physical assault, sexual violence, homicide, workplace discrimination, economic instability, housing insecurity, and hate crimes. And all you can do is say that they're doing it so they can play fucking basketball? That they're putting their lives and their careers and their well-being in danger to play fucking basketball? When there's zero fucking trans women playing basketball in the WNBA, I'm sure they play. You know, the risks aren't even evenly distributed. Transgender women, particularly black and other women of color, sex workers, migrants, and people experiencing homelessness are disproportionately represented among victims of the most severe forms of violence. So you want to jump online and tell me that I'm wrong and tell me I don't understand the trans issue and that I don't understand and that I'm a hard R because you are a crybaby bitch about people that have nothing to fucking do with you, want nothing to do with you, want to be ignored by you? I don't understand. I'm the special needs kid. Fuck off. That's all I got.
You're just
fuckers
heavy.
Had to wear helmets to ride the bus in the morning. No citizen in this country should have to go through that. I don't give a shit what their situation is, what their orientation is. I don't give a shit. No citizen should be forced to suffer that. I don't care what your religion is. Your freedom of religion isn't to enforce your religious morals on everybody else. And this, you know, if you're transgender, that's your business. It's none of my fucking business, you know.
Yeah.
You say, I'm now this person, or you ask me to call you by a certain name. I'm going to do it.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Is Sophie Cunningham, she plays for the Fever. She came out and said, she made a comment about this, about trans athletes and, what was I saying? Sorry.
Sophie Cunningham.
Yeah. And she wants to keep girls and women safe. But why don't you look at the coaches? Why don't you look at the men in their lives? Because they're the ones that are hurting. They're the ones that are hurting children and women.
Yep.
Like the coach for the gymnastics. I can't even remember his name.
I think years that was the doctor, the gymnastics doctor.
Yeah.
And it was decades.
Decades of abuse.
Many complaints ignored.
And then she went to the...
And those complaints didn't even come from Hugh Hefner.
And then she went to the fight and carried her little sign around.
Yep.
Smash the patriarchy. All right, we're going to take a break. When we get back on the other side, more news. Hey, folks, Jeff here. So, you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did, and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic, it's not about the software, and it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at theleftshow.com.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from The Left Show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
For some reason, you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
I don't know. I just got roasted in the middle. And so I'm a little stunned right now. My head's a spinning because the person that I love and trust the most just threw me to the mat for no reason other than to get a laugh from people that already think she's funny.
I love it. It brings me so much joy.
I know. You really like busting my balls.
I do.
You do.
It was a great body slam. I was very...
It's so easy sometimes.
It was well performed. That's what it was. But the fact that I was friendly in my youth...
Oh, that's what we're calling it.
I just make a friend. That's all I would do. I would just go out and make friends.
Jesus.
With my dick. And...
It made friends very well.
It's not my fault. I didn't know. You know, and Kyla has pointed it out many times. She's like, Dad, you were really a good-looking guy when you were in your 20s. Which makes the guy she's been telling that since he was in his 30s feel a little sorry for himself.
Feeling worse.
But there was a picture an ex of mine sent on of me and her dad. We'd gone on a 2-week motorcycle adventure together. And see, I'm so good at making friends, I make friends with parents. And I'm looking at it and I was like, oh, I was a little soft on the eyes. And maybe that's why I was popular, you know, and it probably would have been worse had I been aware of it. But I really wasn't.
Far worse if you'd been aware of it.
Yeah, I had no fucking idea. I had no idea. And I worked on being funny. And, you know, but
well, that was it. You had no idea you were. So you did all the things that most men do to, you know, pick up ladies, and you were very good at that. And so you were a double threat.
Oops.
You were good looking and could talk a good game. And it was like, dude.
Oh, and I could play guitar.
I'd look at all of our other friends. I'm like, we don't stand a chance. He's in the room.
I know. We have one friend that always thought he stood a chance, especially with girls. Yep. I was interested in.
Yes.
So that's it. All right. We're going to move on to some news, but first I just want to do this one from Simply Honest 1234, fake name. Just another show, 1 star. Nothing special here. Jeff wants to be funny, but can't really put it together. Mediocre political analysis at best, missing the mark set by so many other progressive shows. Keep working on your craft. Maybe it'll come together. That's going to be our newest t-shirt on the Defender Street Media store.
I was
going to
say, I did not write that review. I
know. I was going to say, oops, it was late at night. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I read it. Usually this kind of thing would like hurt my feelings a little bit. But the truth is that we've got 4.7 stars on iTunes.
Yep.
And they're all 5 stars except for this one douche canoe who doesn't think I'm funny. And you know what? That's fine. I am an acquired taste. You know?
I like to keep working on your craft. I'm like, well, it's been 16 years.
Yeah, if I don't have it yet, I'm not going to get it.
Yeah, it's never coming now.
Yeah. But I am. I'm turning that into a t-shirt this week. You can find all of our fun merch, the stuff that hasn't been discontinued, over at theleftshow.com. Just scroll down there on the right side, and there's a little button. It says Garb Your Temple, I believe. It has a picture of a t-shirt on it. We've got some fun stuff over there. So, you know, you can be out loud and funny. I'm making this a t-shirt just because, hey, Simply Honest 1234 and your anonymous login. Kiss my ass. Good job, buddy. You made me laugh. That's very good. Can't really put it together. You're right. Let's move on.
You're absolutely right.
I want to talk about, we are a sex positive show. We are, sex workers are workers and deserve to be able to unionize and operate legally. You have critics of sex workers that are like, why would you sell your body for money? And it's like, what the fuck do you think you're doing sitting at a desk all day with your body in a chair that's causing you health problems while you sit 8, 10, 12 hours a day, 5, 6, 7 days a week? You know, are you doing manual labor? You are selling your body for low wages in most cases. And what am I sad about these days? I'm sad I'm not pretty enough for an OnlyFans, because this has been a movement that has put the power into the hands of women to fund a lavish lifestyle in a lot of cases on the dime of the men who objectify them and belittle them but can't stop jerking off to them.
Exactly.
Now, this is I'm talking about Kit Barris. And the reason why Kit stands out to me is her former, you know, she's a former Mormon. She was raised as a Mormon.
Yeah.
She has very short hair. She is very, very pretty in every sense. And then she's a little non-traditionally shaped for what you would think about as far as sex workers go. I think she's attractive from tip to tail, you know. Yes. Make no mistake. But what she talked to the Daily Star of all fucking places and let them know that she used to have long hair, but her parents made her go to church in order to stay living at the house.
Yeah. Which, if you wanna live under our roof, you go to church.
Yeah. And you go to the young person's, the singles ward. And what a singles ward is where single Mormons that are either about to go on or just coming back from their missions or waiting for or sending off their missionaries, the young single Mormons go to their own congregation so that they can fall in love, get married, and continue the Mormon tradition of repopulating the earth all by their lonesomes. You know? And what she did was she shaved her head. She cut her hair all the way down, which pissed off her dad, who said, "You're not a boy. You know, quit acting like a boy." And she is not a boy. She's not pretending to be a boy. She just has short hair. My dad lost it, lost his shit, took my car keys, and he's like, "You're not a boy. Stop acting like one." But the haircut did exactly what she wanted it to do, and dudes stopped hitting on her at church.
In sacrament meeting.
Yep.
That was my favorite thing. Yeah. She'd go sit on the back pew, and every week, new guy would come over, shoot a shot, and walk away. And she was not interested in any of them. Finally, she shaved her head, and I stopped sitting next to her. I'm like, if we were of the same age group, because she's much younger than me, I went to a singles ward because I was hung up on this one girl, and that was where she went to church. She didn't want to be with me because I wasn't active in the church. I'm like, well, I'll show you. I'll go to your singles ward. I had long hair. I dressed, you know, alternatively, and I still went to the fucking singles ward every week. And even furthered my belief that it's all bullshit, that you guys are just making all this shit up. So I was happy to, I actually got a good education there. It told me, oh, I shouldn't be here. I've got no business doing any of this shit. If people want to do it, it's up to them, but I'm not going to be involved.
Yep.
But yeah, I would have sat next to Kit and said, you're cool. You got great hair. I want to sit next to you. Is that cool?
Yeah, I don't think that I would have hit on her at church.
Mm-hmm.
Were we of a relative age? Mm-hmm. You know, but yeah, I'm one of those weirdos where the short hair would not have been oh no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but she says many young Mormon women that she knew were intelligent, academically successful, but she felt that there was an expectation to soften those achievements. Kit says there was also a clear sense of urgency surrounding marriage. Quote, so girls will be 18 dating guys who are 21 who just got back from their mission. And then the guys will be really keen to get married. As soon as you get married, you're pretty much trying for kids. Look, and you know what? I'll throw my dad under the bus on this one, too. Mormon dudes who lose their wives remarry really fast.
Yep.
You know, my dad loved my stepmom more than just about any other two people I've ever met love each other. You know, just a level of heartfelt dedication to one another that frankly, and I know this all of a sudden sounds like the relationship show, but is how I'm trying to have this marriage now is to be dedicated, right? And you remember when we were talking about losing the plot halfway through, babe?
Yeah.
Here we are again.
Yeah, here we are again.
No, but I mean it's my brother did the same thing. He'd been married to his wife for decades upon decades, and when she passed, he remaried within a year.
Because it's
stand being alone.
It's either somebody needs to take care of me, or somebody needs to take care of me.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, and it is, and so it's they're floating the technicality of law. So
it's crazy how easily it happens, though. Like when you're raised in this church, in this cult, it like, I mean, I got married at 17. It's crazy.
It's not.
Oh, it is.
It was like not a big deal.
So if you would care to look up Kit Barris on the internet in a safe for work way, go to Facebook and type in Kit the Beefcake. And you can find her non undressed content. How's that?
Got a great Instagram account.
Oh yeah,
she does videos for. So she's all over social media. I was reading about her journey as a OnlyFans model, and I'm like, oh, is this where they got the whole story for the Apple series that was just on? What's it called?
Margo's Got Money Troubles.
Margo's Got Money Troubles. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember her name. That was, I mean, that it felt a lot like that. But in this case, she was a math major, and that was how she was paying for college. And she actually got her math degree. She got outed in college by a physics major outed me, but all the math majors told him to shut up. And I didn't even know I'd been outed for months because the math majors kept it away from the other math majors. Because they're like, this has got nothing to do with you. She's still cool. She's still, you know, really, you know. And they loved studying with her because she was like, had a 3.8 GPA. They're like, no, we want to study with you. And anytime they had to team up for, you know, a project, they're like, we're teaming up with Kit. I want to team up with Kit. Yeah, they pretty much fight over it. And it wasn't just because she was hot or that she was on OnlyFans. It was that she was smarter than any of them. So, yeah. The math majors were like, you just stay away. So she didn't even hear that she'd been outed for months. I thought that was funny.
No, I think that's great. I mean, really what it comes down to is, okay, so to personalize it, I also have a 3.8 GPA right now. Mm-hmm. But I have math this semester. and my GPA is about to take a kick in the shorts.
Mine nosedove as soon as I took one of those. As soon as I took my math course.
Yep. Yeah. But she, she is wicked smart. And the truth is that the money she's making with OnlyFans just proves not only how smart she is, but how smart she is at math. Because she just has to sit there and count her fucking money while you chuckle-headed, incel, dipshit, comics gate, neck beard, mouth breathing, knuckle dragon, shit for brains are all like, oh, well, I'd never date an OnlyFans model. Yeah, we know. Never. Yeah, we know, buddy. You never will.
It's not that you would never do that. It's you would never be able to.
Yeah. Yep. She's in another league entirely. Okay.
Yep.
Scott Bessent. This guy. Mm-hmm. He's like a caricature. Put him on TV and it's like, is this an SNL skit? Because this guy's like, fucking hilarious without fucking dummy is.
Is there a comedian playing this guy that I'm not aware of? Who is this guy?
Yeah, it's like Andy Kaufman level, we're being pranked.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, he says that it's Biden's fault for Trump's massive economic failures.
Okay.
Yep. It's Biden's fault for the war.
Biden's fault. Because we're having massive economic failure.
Yep. Okay. The wife of a sailor said the Navy failed to inform her of her husband's suicide attempt for days. There's been multiple reports of detailed of dire conditions aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln, which has been deployed since November of last year. They haven't touched port since November of last year. You usually go a month and then you get some relief, no matter how small. But they're out of food. Yeah. The ships are fucked up and dirty because they can't be cleaned the way they can be in port. And you've got guys trying to kill themselves because they can't fucking take the shit anymore. And all of our new electromagnet slingshots that we send our warplanes up with that work really well, Trump just ordered that they all change back to steam catapults. Steam catapults that use the water that they would normally drink. And Hegseth, instead of going into the theater and flying to one of these ships and taking a look around for himself, like a leader would do, is instead taking a shit on the sailors who are going through all of the, it's inhumane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's no wonder they're fucking cracking. I've seen the pictures of the food.
Isn't that the one with the two spoonfuls of beans or something and a couple of tortillas, and that was their lunch for the day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The RNC, the chair of the RNC, just was like, Max Miller, we talked about him last week, no big deal. Yeah. Of course we're going to fund him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He whitewashed.
Funding this abuser. Yeah.
Yeah, he whitewashed the abuse accusations around Miller with a vague platitude about divorce being hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then AOC, and this is our last news story. We'll finish up with this one, and it's a quick one. She has not ruled out running for president or for the Senate. I hope she runs for the Senate first.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I like her as a lawmaker. I would hate for her to plateau in elected office this young. Mm-hmm. You know, I really would. If she ended up president, you don't really run for anything anymore. And I think she's too fucking important.
Definitely honestly. Agree.
Yeah. I hope she runs again.
I'd also like to see our president go back to being an administrator and letting Congress do the work. You know? I'd like to see that. That's how it's supposed to be. That's how it's written in the Constitution, but yeah.
I need two terms of a guy that's angry and wanting to clean shit up.
Yep.
Then we can go back to an administrator.
Then we can go back to that. That works.
Yep. Yeah. But yeah, I would take it. I want an orator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want a guy, I want, there was a thing, and I am in danger of making the show run long, but there was a thing that I saw on the internet, and it was talking about the danger of especially conservatives that want to, they get intimidated by guys that are smarter than them, and so they want the president to be as dumb as they are.
Yeah.
You know, the oh, I just want a guy I can go and get a beer with. I don't. It's the fucking country. I want a guy 10 times smarter than me. Oh, it was Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was the guy who wrote The West Wing who wrote that article. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want a guy smarter than me. I want a woman.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I wasn't.
I'll take a lady smarter than me.
That's yeah, I'll fine. Take anybody yeah. smarter than me.
Anybody smarter than me should be running the country. That's,
yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? A little bit younger, too.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, yeah.
I need somebody running the country that knows how fucking Snapchat works. Because mm-hmm. I don't. But yeah, if AOC, if Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wants to run for president, I will support her 100%. She wants to run for Senate, I support her 100%. She wants to drop out of politics, I am against that 100%. Yeah. You know? And on the other hand,
her to stay.
Yeah. She and her fiance broke up, I believe.
Oh.
That sucks, and I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Sucks for him.
Does suck for him.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Wonder what her thoughts on polyamory are. Anyway, that's it for the show this week, guys. We're going to take the show over to Patreon right now, where you can join us for special content at patreon.com/dfenmedia, where every week that we record, we drop that content there for our Patreon fans and family. You can join us, patreon.com/dfenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. We're going to go do that now. In the meantime, I want to say thanks for listening. Please, by all means, rate and review. Be as funny as you can. More than one star would be appreciated. But in the meantime, get out there. Have a little fun with the rates and the reviews, will you? Let's hear some wacky shit.
Give us 5 stars and say that we don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
Make yourself the next T-shirt.
Yes.
All right. Yep. So to everybody listening, except for Simply Honest 1234, who can seriously go and sodomize himself and probably is. This is what patriots eat for breakfast. See you next week. Say goodbye, everybody.
Bye,
everybody.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/dfenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.